There's a rule against alcoholic beverages. Infraternities on probation.
Say, how about joining me and my friend over there? Come on, join us in a beer, okay?
Get me another beer, Dragon Lady.
It was the greatest beer in all the world.
Just drink the fucking beer, and you'll get the hang of it.
Listen, they want us to pay for the beer we drink, so you guys better split.
Well, I thought you'd just buy me a beer.
Hey, you want some help with that beer, kid?
I have respect for the beer.
Save one of those beers for me, eh?
You want some of this milk?
Rather have a beer.
You want a beer, pal?
What do you drink?
We got this non-alcoholic shit.
What's that?
Like non-alcoholic beer. It's got no alcohol.
Is it beer?
Yeah, with no alcohol.
But you drink enough, and if you drink a lot, they get you fucked up.
No, there's no alcohol. That's the fucking point.
Can't imagine ever not enjoying getting fucked up.
Yeah.
I love it. As being sober.
Fuck, it sucks. And just like the movies, we play out our last scene. You won't cry, I won't scream.
Hey everybody, this is Dustin.
And Seth.
And we are drunk.
At the movies.
Brought to you by Bearded Owl Brewing in Peoria, Illinois. Well, kids, this could be a rough episode, but thankfully it's going to be a short one.
Yes. Yeah. It's not as long as it feels, unfortunately.
Right. But what we're doing today, it's the day before Valentine's Day. We thought, let's watch a romantic comedy. Well, we're not doing either of those things, but we are going to basically watch a continuation of last month's theme, Box Office Bombs, and watch a movie about some robots falling in love.
We're segueing into Valentine's Day with a little-known treasure called Heart Beeps.
Yeah, from 1981, starring Andy Kaufman, everybody's favorite Dadaist comedian, and Bernadette Peters, who you may know from The Jerk.
Because Broadway stars and nihilists have great chemistry.
Yeah, totally. And you'll hear all about it. So if you own this and would like to watch it with us, feel free to go find your copy that I know you don't own. And what we're going to do is we're going to play the trailer for all of those listeners who have no idea what this movie's about. So here's a little sample.
And now, direct from his worldwide tour, we proudly present the one and only Leonard Catskill.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Good evening, ladies and germs. It's great to be here. Of course, at my age, it's great to be anywhere. But seriously, folks, I'm here to tell you about this new movie. It's called Heart Beeps, and it's about me and my pals. Here's Val Kilmer.
Turn your head around.
I don't want to say he's dim-witted, but he makes an electric toothbrush look like a genius.
Look, the fire. My function? To serve as companion and valet. Being programmed for charm was probably an extra expense.
This is Aquacom. She was Popular Mechanics Playmate of the Month for June 1994. Get a load of those components. Wowie, wow.
Oh, thank you.
And then there's Philco. He's a great kid. But he had no sense of humor until he met me.
I haven't been this happy since the time I bought a pet skunk. My wife said, "Why do you expect to keep it?" I said, "Under our bed." She said, "What about the smell?" And I said, "He'll have to get used to it, just like I did." Now, the problem is, we're all being chased by this overgrown squad car named Crime Buster.
Don't get excited. Don't get excited.
Remain stationary for a computer check. While waiting, you may enjoy a brief musical interlude.
He's a cross between Darth Vader and a Sherman tank. I've heard of party crashes, but this is ridiculous. But believe me, folks, this movie's got a lot going for it. There's action, adventure, romance, raccoons, even people.
Hey, kid, behave yourself.
Oh, yeah, and I'm in the movie, too. But seriously, folks, don't forget to see Universal's new movie, Heartbeats. And it's coming for you-know-when. And speaking of Christmas,
Andy Kaufman, Bernadette Peters, in Heartbeats, coming this Christmas. It's holiday entertainment for everyone.
So I says, I don't care who you are, Fatso, get those reindeer off my roof.
Sounds like a blast, doesn't it?
Confused? You won't be after this episode.
And apparently it's a Christmas movie. Who knew?
Yeah, they threw that in there just for fun.
So what we're going to do is we're going to crack open our beer of the episode from our sponsor, Bearded Owl Brewing. This one is the Prairie Steam Lager. Steam, I thought steam.
Kind of a power, steamy romance.
Steampunk
romance. Oh, hey, robot. All right.
That's how I got from point A to point B. It says, an ode to simpler times, this light and easy drinking steam lager has a minimal hop presence and is crushable at any time, in any place. This one's for you. Also, I just may need to crush some beers to get through this.
Yeah.
But to be fair, we're doing a few episodes today.
Yeah, so
we're going to put it on Front Street. We're recording three today.
Going to try to drink slow, but yeah, this movie we'll might drive me to drink more than I planned.
Yeah, so this show and the show in 2 weeks, and then the show after that are all like a one afternoon glimpse into Seth and I's day off.
Willy Wonka is going to be one long drunk laugh.
Yeah, it will be. All right, well, before we kick into the movie, I know you're still looking for your copy of Heartbeeps. We're going to let you enjoy our opening credits song, which is from a band called Dance Gavin Dance. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you longtime listeners, that is because I did an episode with them way back in 2017, almost 2 years ago, March 12th it came out. Episode 67, and it's called Drink Gavin Drink, and it was recorded live at Distill Brewery with the guys from Dance Gavin Dance before they did a sold-out show at the Castle Theater. We played some music on there, drank some beers, had a little bit of an interview, even got Will, the guitar player, to chug a beer on the show. So if you really enjoy the song you're about to hear, go check that episode out. It's actually our number one episode of all time, so... There you go. But the song we are playing today was not featured on that episode. It is from their album Mothership, and it's called Young Robot. Seems pretty apropos. All right. Well, enjoy some Dance Gavin Dance, and we'll be right back here on Drunk at the Movies.
Look so bad. someone been a long time coming.
All right, we've put it off as long as we can.
I'm not ready for this, but I never will be, so let's go ahead and try to do this.
You know, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. So we've got our DVD queued up on the menu screen. We've turned the captions on because we really want to know what they're saying at all times. And hit play in 3, 2, 1.
Here it is, 79 minutes of Robot Love.
It's a movie that I own on VHS and DVD. It was a gift, kind of a gag gift, I'm pretty sure, from a friend of mine, Matt Lappy.
And the movie might make you gag. Yeah. It is that bad.
Yeah, I am a Kaufman fan.
Oh, yeah.
I know he is a very polarizing figure in the comedy world, mm-hmm. but I'm on the pro-Kaufman side.
Yeah, his best comedy bits have always made me laugh. And I love Bernadette Peters. I don't normally go for the whole Broadway thing, but loved her in The Jerk.
All right, so we have a Dalek spliced with a Cadillac. Is that what that is?
That's exactly what that is.
Doctor Who fans police will know squad. What I'm talking about.
He's just got one single siren on top of his head. Yeah. And I just keep hearing the Naked Gun music.
And this is a cold open. Is that his dick? Oh, no.
That's his nose.
Oh, that's weird. And there's a skunk. Skunks don't smell unless they spray.
Yeah. So I think the joke here is that police are stupid and incompetent, I guess.
Maybe.
There seems to be a lot of social commentary in this film. And when I say seems to be, I mean I can't fucking tell what the message is.
Yeah. All right, so he blew up the skunks because they were a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this movie had a budget of $10 million in 1981.
And it made back one-fifth? I believe.
Opening weekend, $400,000. Gross, $2 million total. Now, it's weird we're getting the Universal logo after we've already, you know, had a ridiculous scene.
Yeah, this movie was very ahead of its time with cold opens. Almost a 90s movie.
Not with the font.
Or the screen wipe transition, I should say. That's just a blind wipe. That's all that is.
Yeah.
I see they, too, have Avid News Cutter.
Now, it doesn't say what year this takes place in, but I believe in the trailer that we just listened to, Catskills makes reference to 1994.
Okay.
So it has to at least be in the 90s.
Yeah.
Why didn't you see it? Why didn't you see us?
Oh, it's Randy Quaid again in a movie with robots.
He's doing well, by the way. He's doing all right.
Yeah.
He's only still tweaking on a 30-year meth binge.
Yeah. So last movie we saw him, he played a robot. Now he's working with them.
Deliver to C-section. Was that meant to be some weird pregnancy joke?
Probably. Oh, the robot's head is backwards.
Mm.
Turn your head around.
Do you think he really did that?
I hate it when they do that.
There's so many. Like, every part of this movie, I think, is meant to be a joke, and there's just no joke there.
There aren't
it's
any.
Just weird.
Industrial accident, sir.
Okay, so he's doing the foreign man voice, basically.
Right. He said that the voice he chose was based on a mix between Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd, but I'm really just hearing Latka.
Get your ass over here and tell.
End of quote. At that time, I assisted several worker robots in lifting heavy metal refuse containers, and one fell on my foot.
Are they in an ironing board factory?
That's what I was trying to figure out.
Those are just cloth covers for the robots, which makes it look like a bunch of fabric condoms in the back.
Yeah. He's not designed for that kind. Full body condoms again, Naked Gun.
Yeah, more Naked Gun references.
So the guy that wrote this, John Hill, you may be like, did he ever recover from this? In 1988, he wrote the screenplay for Little Nikita, which starred River Phoenix, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He did one episode of Quantum Leap. He did Quigley Down Under, which was a Western with Tom Selleck.
Which was trying to ride on the coattails of Crocodile Dundee, essentially.
Yeah, and then a few episodes of L.A. Law, and he worked on the Hulk Hogan TV series Thunder in Paradise. He has not really done much.
I think his most recent thing was like a movie with a budget of $8,800 that they shot in 4 days in the woods.
Yeah. So, the director of this, Alan Arkush, I recognized him because he did Rock and Roll High School, which starred the Ramones and PJ Souls. Oh, we get the title on the screen there. He's standing next to another robot, and we're going to have a really long
imagine this movie was here. Cut down from, I believe there were an extra like 70 5 minutes to the movie.
I don't know what could have been in that.
I mean, the movie's too long as it is. Oh yeah, look at this cast. Yeah. I mean, the cast is fantastic.
It's kind of crazy how bad it is with some of the people involved, but it also makes you wonder.
Music by John Williams?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even hear it.
And this is like before Jedi. This is like right after Empire Strikes Back. So Stan Winston, his name is on there. He actually got nominated for an Oscar.
I think this was his first nomination.
This was almost an Oscar-winning film.
But just imagine like what Stan Winston went on to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really everybody's worst work is in this movie.
Yeah.
So you got to assume it's the writer and the director's faults.
Do you think Andy Kaufman made a horrible movie on purpose?
I don't know. He wanted to make a Tony Clifton movie, and they gave him this movie to see if he could carry a leading
horrible
role.
Horrible idea.
Terrible idea. They gave him a blank check to make this movie. Who knows what he gave himself for it.
Yeah.
But because this movie was horrible, they did not go forward with the Tony Clifton movie. So I don't know if
I think Kaufman the Tony Clifton movie could have been fun.
I could have been kind of the first Borat.
Yeah, for sure. Did you ever watch the Netflix documentary with Jim Carrey?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting.
Definitely interesting. It you know, makes you wonder to this point how much of it was real and how much of it was just him faking it. They just keep looking at each other uncomfortably, like one of them farted.
Yeah.
What was the purpose of that piece of communication?
And this is how they're going to talk the whole movie.
Yep.
I'm practicing social conversation.
I presume you were here for damage to your mental circuitry.
And
you fucked in the head.
My designation is Aquacom.
Her mouth movements, it just weirds me out.
It's like she just had dental surgery. And she's got one of those things over her teeth to keep her from hurting them.
My observation concerning the beauty of the sunset is an example.
This movie is so ahead of its time. It probably inspired like AI and Terminator.
iRobot.
The inspiration for the Borg all came from this movie.
She's got a beehive of golden curls. He has plastic helmet hair.
Desirability, and is therefore
pretty much Lego hair.
Yeah.
Remember the Dog Boy series from Liquid Television?
Barely.
This is the makeup to this. Just makes me think of that.
I am Valcom 17485. Function to serve
the
as...
The fuck?
Being programmed for charm was probably an extra expense.
Okay.
Not as desirable as my present area of expertise. Stocks and bonds, with specialized data on lumber commodities.
Okay.
You can really see Bernadette Peters trying to do something with the comedy and trying to act. And
there's only so much you can do with what you're given.
Mountains and the sunset. What would be an appropriate response of mine?
You would probably say something like,
"Yeah, I know what you mean. Mountains always make me feel closer to God for some reason. Can I get you a drink?"
And as you spoke, you would look at me.
He's got a Pee Wee Herman suit.
Yeah, he does. With the bow tie and everything.
And your response to
it looks
this?
Like it's made out of garbage bags, though.
And I think the facial features were clearly inspired by C-3PO. They were. This movie was made because of the success of Star Wars and how much kids loved 3PO and R2-D2. And as the movie goes on, you start to pick up on a lot of Star Wars ripoffs.
Yeah. Well, and kids' love of robots will only go so far. I mean, there was a Droids Saturday morning cartoon series. Mm-hmm. And I think that only lasted 1 year.
Yeah.
And the Ewoks. All right. So that's the end of the movie. I just
and cut.
It.
Okay, we'll just go from wide shot to wide shot and watch them stand in silence for as long as the movie can let us.
Really wanting us to know how boring it is there.
And what would happen after I brought you this banana daiquiri at this poolside social gathering?
At this point,
she can't get away from him. That's what's bad. Like, she's stuck.
To what purpose?
He doesn't blink either, does he? Companionship, as well as assisting him. Oh, damn it. Right. Maybe that'll be the drinking game. Every time you actually see them visibly blink.
Especially with Bernadette Peters. I think she's trying to use her blinking as like some kind of comedy vehicle because there's just nothing else to work with.
Yeah. Well, maybe say every time we see a blink or every time... Good God, that's a lot of cuts.
Oh, there's some blinking. Yeah, unnecessary cuts. And now where they should have used a lot of cuts, they don't. Because there's this obvious jump cut when you go to hold hands. And they really tried to edit together the lightning crash. Right.
Lightning crashes. An old robot dies.
Did you see that? Yeah. What was that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is where he gets a boner. I think they talk about it. The equivalent of a robot boner.
A robo boner?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they're done. They held hands and now...
Well, I mean, it was a... first time.
Not even a cuddle.
Yeah. Do you require a...
Are they trying to make him look like Chevy Chase with the robot makeup? Because
think about that.
Man, he looks like Chevy Chase in that shot.
I need a nicotine stick.
Hey, Gumshoe. Remember that Nintendo game?
Oh, I just thought of Carmen Sandiego when you said that Gumshoe. All right, so now we have the crime buster.
Crime buster, yeah.
Yeah, not the local police vigilante group, but this thing's being tested on its shooting accuracy.
And here we have a stand-up comic robot. Again, I think this is a precursor to AI when they had Chris Rock as the stand-up comic robot.
It's called Catskill. So it didn't shoot the kid. Okay.
Good response.
Pleasure center appropriate.
What?
What? How?
Okay, so now we have a grandma pushing a baby in a stroller, and he just sets him on fire with a flamethrower.
And not I a am real cracking up.
Yeah. Not a real grandma. That would have actually been funny.
Hey, double rainbow.
Double rainbow all the way. You ever seen that video?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's great. The auto-tune remix is even better.
How come Aqua looks like she has a condom wrapped around her neck?
I don't know. That's going to be my answer for most questions regarding this movie. And then the green slime drops from the ceiling, a la... You can't do that on television. Yes. Plus 3 additional colors. I hate lip makeup like that, too.
Yeah, the forced smile off to the side.
That's one thing that always bothered me about Queen Amidala in episode 1 was the weird lip makeup. I don't know.
It's that weird old-timey, like, mannequin kind of weird makeup.
And we're not talking about the Andrew McCarthy, Kim Cattrall vehicle from the 80s.
Which is a much better movie than this.
Yeah, we should have watched that. Actually, just read a really good book all about the Brat Pack and... John Hughes movies. It's called You Couldn't Ignore Me If You Tried.
Ah.
Very good read. A lot of great interviews. Literally everybody except John Hughes' rotting corpse was interviewed for the book. But check it out. And they don't sugarcoat his asshole years when he got too big for people and started making shit.
Yeah.
Like Baby's Day Out.
Oh, yeah. That's
Curly Sue.
The stars of his movies, the character, got their age got progressively lower and lower. Baby's Day Out. And then didn't he at least produce Baby Geniuses? Or
I think so. He even wrote, which I did not know this, the 101 Dalmatians live-action remake for Disney. Apparently, he made bank on that.
I could see that.
So... Yeah, I think he made more money on that than Home Alone, oddly enough.
Wow.
And Home Alone was like one of the top 10 or top 5 grossing movies of all time. It's because he got a piece of the merchandise for 101 Dalmatians.
Okay. Yep, that's how you make money.
Yep.
Write a movie for Disney and get a percentage of merchandise sales.
You know who didn't get to write a movie for Disney? This guy, John Hill.
No, he didn't. Why didn't they just get Rodney Dangerfield for Catskill?
I know. That's a total miscast for sure.
The one about the guy who was killed by a weasel.
I'm looking up to see who does his voice.
Okay.
It's like at the very bottom of the screen credits. Oh, it's Jack Carter, who I do recognize.
Okay. So they, for some reason, they are just dying to know what the punchline is.
He was sitting on a railroad track, and the train came along, and he didn't hear the weasel.
Groan. Okay, that's a drink. Every time Catskill tells a joke that falls flat, take a drink.
There were like 2 minutes added onto this scene just to hear that terrible joke.
Correct. So the guy who does the voice of Catskill, he was in History of the World.
Yeah.
Played the rat vendor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He died a couple years ago. He's one of those character actors you've seen in tons of stuff. But he never has like major parts. He's just like, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
He was an old Italian.
And he was an actual insult comic. And did a lot of stand-up back in the day.
182 credits. To help me collect, store, and interpret data. I lack such a unit. I lack a unit?
Wow, all
this
right.
This movie lacks a unit.
This movie's longer than it feels, or it's not as long as it feels, hey, and it lacks a unit.
Yeah, there's some unsheathed robots back there.
Naked robots, all right.
That means oral, right? Or just kissing.
Right, I don't know, but Andy Kaufman got a really inappropriate smile on his face for 1 second, like he was breaking character as she was delivering that line.
Hey, baby, you got any fries to go with that shake?
So, his design is creative, I guess, for Catskill. He's sitting on a trunk, so that way the person can be inside that, and he has robot legs that cross when he tells a joke, which is probably the only creative thing about that robot. What do you comb your hair with? A blowtorch? And his eyebrows arch. Oh, yeah, that was a joke that fell flat.
Oh, all right, yeah, I had a drink to that.
Catskill, are you sufficiently operative to walk to the edge of the woods with us?
Speaking of walking, that's a hell of a suit, Mac. Somewhere in town, there's a Buick with the seat covers missing.
What does that have to do with walking?
I believe within the distorted communication, there appears to be a positive answer regarding walking.
I don't believe there was.
Exactly.
Why the drum roll for exactly?
It cues us to laugh.
Oh, okay.
Ah, Dick Miller.
All right, we got a drink to Dick Miller. This is the first movie we've watched with him since. This is our first episode since his passing.
Yeah, like it literally happened a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Tons of great movies he was in over the years. I mean, Gremlins.
Every Joe Dante movie, really.
Right. So
Terminator, going back to another Terminator reference.
I'm trying to think if he's... He may have even been in a movie we've already watched.
I'm pretty sure he was. We've talked about him recently. I just can't think of what it was.
It would take a while to scroll through, again, another 181 credits.
We could just randomly say, you know, The Burbs.
Yeah, The Burbs for sure. You
know, Howling. Gremlins 2. We mentioned Gremlins, but not Gremlins 2.
Inner Space is a good one. After Hours, Explorers, as you said, Terminator, Gremlins, All the Right Moves, Twilight Zone the movie.
Oh, yeah. Again, Joe Dante, his portion anyway.
Right. And, Heartbeats.
All right, so...
He was also in Rock and Roll High School, so he evidently was familiar with Arkish. Oh, yeah, so... Andy Kaufman's driving now.
Oh, the film has been sped up in pretty much the exact same style of Nosferatu. The special effects in this movie are no better.
Didn't look anything like Willem Dafoe. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
What was that called again?
Shadow of the Vampire?
That's it. I saw it once. I haven't seen it since.
Me too. Request,
will you drive slower for a cruise? I have a feeling our friend and former guest, Zach, has probably seen it more than us.
Mm-hmm. And there was a Werner Herzog remake of Nosferatu that he did with, obviously, Klaus Kinski playing Nosferatu, or Count Orlok, I should say.
So Dick Miller just told him, like, hey, what'd you do with those robots that you had? Because they're not there now. So now we know that they know that they're AWOL.
Yeah.
They're operating on their own accord. That's the same exact scene.
Yeah, that that's just him. Yeah, that's like they just took a different take of the exact same thing. Hey, it's Bugenhagen. From The Omen. Riff Taylor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't look Rob and me, God damn it.
Uh-oh. You have used bad language. Kills him.
You were responsible, right? I mean, you were supposed
to... He's the PC police?
Yeah.
...section all night long taking inventory, right?
Do not blaspheme in my presence. That is a crime. I must bust.
Thou shalt not kill. I shalt.
More than anyone here can find them no matter what.
Okay, so now he's taken this as instructions of he's been given an assignment.
What are you looking at me like that for?
You know what? It looked like Bugenhagen, but I don't think it was. I think it was the homeless guy from House Sitter.
Is that the movie with Steve Martin and Goldie Hawn?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
She hires the homeless people to pretend to be her parents.
I hadn't thought of that movie in forever, but like as soon as you said it, I could picture the VHS cover.
Pretty outdated and terrible, yeah. Unfortunately. Has a few funny scenes, but not because of Goldie Hawn.
Right. You know, a lot of people are all about Goldie Hawn. I just never got on the boat. I do like Overboard.
Overboard, there you go. You know.
But... you know, that's about the only one. I watched Bird on a Wire with Mel Gibson.
I never saw Bird on a Wire. I remember the trailer. That's about it.
She didn't do much for me.
Yeah, I always felt the same way. She was great in Death Becomes Her.
Yeah, I'll give her that.
That movie is fantastic.
We actually threw around the idea of doing that movie this month, but we decided to do Heartbeeps. So you're welcome.
hey, they're on Endor.
Yeah, right? Dude, this movie needs a speeder bike chase.
Gonna kick in real good all of a sudden.
He's still got his mattress tag around his wrist and what looked to be driving gloves.
I will soon be able to apprehend these suspects.
Why is he monologuing to himself?
Exposition for us. This movie is full of terrible exposition. I mean, half the dialogue is them just explaining what's happening.
Terrible exposition, fantastic Yo La Tango album.
I have an idea, Val. Let's build something we can put these spare parts in to accompany us.
Okay. Why'd she do... Yeah, that, exactly.
Well, good evening, ladies and germs. It's certainly good to be back here in the
Joker.
Yeah.
Stage, you know, we said my act belongs outdoors. Speaking of animals, I saw a Volkswagen drive by with a giraffe sticking out of the window.
I don't like where this is going.
The giraffe. Guy says, I'm taking him to the zoo. Next day, guy drives by.
Does she have hard nipples?
Cops will say.
Yeah,
do robots have nipples?
Yeah, he liked it so much.
I don't think they do.
Robot anatomy is not really covered in this at all. It's doesn't... Like, sometimes he has his facial blemishes, his moles. Sometimes he doesn't.
Milton Boyle. Applause, applause.
Applesauce.
Who is he performing for? Nobody.
Himself.
Nothing that can stop me.
Oh yeah, we just missed a few drinks, didn't we?
Yeah.
Catskill.
Why are they blurry?
Yes, Val.
It's like there's Vaseline on the lens or something.
She might have had that clause in her contract. Some actresses did it at different times that you had to have a certain filter when they were on camera to make their features seem softer and their skin seem a little out of focus.
So they just made Wally.
Uh-huh. They made Wally, who sounds a lot like R2-D2.
But apparently is voiced by fucking Jerry Garcia.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
But it's literally an IMDb credit. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't say uncredited. It says Jerry Garcia.
So we'll have to check the credits later on.
But yeah.
They just dissolved two different shots together to try to make it look like he turned on his little drill in his arm.
Yeah. Yeah,
that doesn't
sound
familiar.
Sounds exactly like R2-D2. And is that Star Wars music in the background? That's what makes it even funnier.
At some point, when they get to the junkyard, I think, the Star Wars music is real obvious. Like, John Williams just went, you know what, fuck it.
Yeah, it's a paycheck.
Yeah, it's a paycheck. If they're going to rip it off, I might as well rip off my own music.
And we're 23 minutes in, folks. So that means we are almost a third of the way through.
Okay,
the
that's
movie.
Not that bad. It's going by pretty fast so far.
And I think we should call him
so far.
Philco.
Yes.
It is accurate and efficient.
So they've created a child, is what's happened.
Yeah.
These two robots have created the first robot made by robots.
It is a son of robot, which is another Dance Gavin Dance song we almost used. But we didn't want to throw too much music in there. But honestly, it probably wouldn't even ruin the episode to cut
to just play
song.
It. Could, yeah, just try what we did with Pluto Nash. Dark Side of the Rainbow. This shit.
We'll wait for them to come back on screen.
Did this on their own.
Oh, Randy Quaid, you have a lot ahead of you.
Have you seen?
He just wants to be his brother, Dennis. So
I know, poor guy.
Dennis is still cool.
Yeah, I like Dennis. I've always
liked
Dennis.
He's doing commercials now, and it's like kind of like playing himself as a bit of a asshole or whatever.
Unknown variable. Yeah.
And here we go again. Bernadette is walking, holding her dress out with one hand, her hand on her other
hip.
She's
trying.
And she's just trying to do something physically to make something funny about this movie. Correct.
Yeah.
You could tell they had no direction at all, and they were just trying to make something happen.
Right. From them, it's not a flattering outfit at all.
It's not.
Wrapping paper for gala events to inter-office memos.
Like, if she's supposed to be... I mean, they're kind of alluding. She's like a companion robot.
Yeah, she's like, a sex bot, essentially.
She's here to fucking suck. And yeah. Drink banana daiquiris. You think she would look a little hotter, like in her attire? I know it's 1981, but shit, Princess Leia was in a slave bikini 2 years later.
Yeah.
There's plenty of foxy ladies in the early 80s. I know it's a kid. Is this a kid's movie?
It's meant to be a kid's movie. It's meant to be, but there's a lot of weird shit that happens throughout the movie.
All right. There's the robot.
Little bunny. Here's Jerry Garcia bot.
Where is the fuel unit? I don't know.
They already lost their kid.
Oh, man. They're terrible parents.
Yeah. Do you want to make another one? Okay. I have a feeling something bad's going to happen to this bunny.
So Phil the robot is just petting the bunny with a oven mitt on his
like
hand.
Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
And the next scene, he's going to tear
its
head off.
Head shut, yes. Tell me about the rabbits, George. Tell me about the rabbits, Val. Oh, that lady has been in everything.
I always remember her from Dragnet.
She was in a movie we watched recently on Dishing Disney called I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Okay.
Starring Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and her and a few other ladies were all huge fans of Tom Jones.
Hmm.
And they were on their way to see him perform in Vegas, and they picked up a hitchhiking Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
And she was also the woman in the grocery store in Innerspace who pulls the lighter gun out.
Yeah, so it's her and Dick Miller. You know, we're in that movie together.
Yep. I wish Joe Dante had directed this, because this is actually kind of up Joe Dante's alley. A lot of special effects makeup, weird theme. It was kind of like a reverse Short Circuit.
Yeah. I saw Short Circuit at the drive-in in North Pekin.
Yeah?
I remember that. I think it was a double bill with Ghostbusters, but I don't know if those came... Maybe it was The Great Outdoors.
It's funny how the 80s sort of began the entire, like, aliens, robots, like, creatures. They became cool again after 30 years. After the 50s, nothing happened. And then in the 80s, it all came back, and it's been popular ever since. How fast are we going? Oh, about 120. Why? What is that robot doing?
Masturbating.
That's what it looked like.
Oh, jeez. We don't want to miss anything here.
We're not.
I don't know what the double bill was, because Ghostbusters was 84, Short Circuit was 86, Great Outdoors was 88. I know I saw it at the drive-in, but I saw all of those movies at the drive-in. I think there was a couple times we didn't stay for the second movie.
You know, I am concerned that Phil becomes lost very easily.
He's got his head on backwards.
We cannot have our spare parts wandering off on their own.
Yes.
So they only created Phil as really a slave bot, but we're supposed to get some kind of offspring relationship. Yeah. But it's really just to carry their spare shit around.
It's pretty fly for a white guy.
Pretty short roundy.
Now that you mention it, Phil, that's absolutely true.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
I cannot rest. It is my duty.
Who is Princeton?
I thought he said, I cannot risk it.
We just saw Crime Buster for the first time, and it's like mid-conversation.
He did go nuts. Yeah, I think that was... I can't remember what happened, because, frankly, I wasn't paying attention to this shitty movie. But he, for some reason, has gone crazy, and he's just, like, randomly killing wild animals and shit.
Randy Quaid is not having a good time.
He's jonesing. He forgot his drugs.
Where the hell are we going?
That's what I asked this plot. Where the hell are we going?
Again, there was a joke there of some sort?
Maybe. I don't know. I think all of them are wondering what they're doing at this point.
So Andy Kaufman was on David Letterman to promote this movie.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading about this.
His way of promoting it was by telling people that he was personally sorry, and he would pay them back if they went and paid for the movie.
Is this before or after he took Carnegie Hall out for milk and cookies?
I think before.
Before. Yeah, so her pleasure center thing isn't attached to anything.
Nope, just attached to the condom around her neck.
Yeah. It looks like one of those things you put in your car on your windshield.
Yeah, when it's all folded up.
Yeah.
Or kind of like a flimsy version of a dog cone to keep her from licking herself.
That would make this movie more interesting.
Makes more sense than whatever the fuck function it performs right now.
Oh, yeah. We have a fight scene with a bear.
You mean like a hairy gay guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he an otter?
He's not a power
twink.
Bottom.
He's not a twink. I know that. I'm taking a calculated risk. I guess that'd be Phil. You can
tell my lack of weapons and my
non-threatening tone. Young and hairless and naive.
Twinkie from Buck Rogers would be a twink.
Oh, shit. He'd do his own stunts.
Oh, hey, camera. We don't need to have that happen.
Yeah, there was a lot of crotch right there in the frame. Recently, the Super Bowl just happened. I remember seeing way too much of Bruce Springsteen's crotch. We got the boss's junk went straight into the screen.
Ugh.
He did a slide across the stage and evidently didn't stop as soon as he thought he was going to. And I swear to God, his crotch just went right into the camera. And they didn't cut away. It was the weirdest thing.
I remember when Prince played the Super Bowl and he...
Best halftime show ever.
Yeah, yep.
I watch it every year. It will never be topped. One, it was my two favorite teams playing each other. Three, it was Prince playing Purple Rain in the fucking rain.
That was the year that the Bears had a great first half and then just fell apart the second half. They ran a touchdown on kickoff. The
opening kickoff, Devin Hester.
Yeah.
Yeah. I switched jerseys every quarter. I'm not even making that up. The Colts are my AFC team. The Bears are my NFC team. So as you know, I was highly bummed out this playoff season, but at least they were both in it. Oh, the bear sped up again. I think that might be the bear from Great Outdoors.
I think so. I think the cops are after him. That's why he was running away.
Yeah.
He's got a meth lab in the cave. I've been watching a lot of Breaking Bad lately, so you'll hear some meth references.
Also, you're originally from Pekin.
That too, yeah. I lived here for a long time.
Hometown pride.
It's getting dark. Take us home.
Okay. Now, They wanted to turn around and go back anyways.
God, this cave is straight out of the TOS series.
I think those humans in the helicopter are...
That's kind of redundant.
Yes, we should be more careful if we want to stay together.
Hey, you got any jokes, Catskill? Or are you just going to smoke a cigar in this enclosed cave?
Yes, for me too.
All right.
Attention, okay.
Fugitives. Right. Reckless driving and destruction of property is a misdemeanor. If you are with...
Do you like the font on his tape? How did he put that up?
And perhaps a deal can be made with the district attorney's office.
Ribbit. Ribbit. Oh, shit. He's going to kill
the frog.
There was this little green man from... All right. Oh, it's joke time.
He landed his flying saucer in front of the stage delicatessen. He spots a couple of bagels.
Oh, Jewish references.
Goes inside and says, "Give me two wheels for my spaceship." The guy behind the counter says, "These are not wheels. These are bagels. You eat them."
Oh, this is a really long joke, too.
Yeah, this one takes forever.
"I need them for my ship."
This joke does not have wheels.
"You eat them. They're delicious." So the spaceman takes a bite of the bagel, thinks a minute and says, "You know, this would go good with lox."
Huh.
"You get it, kid? This will go good with lox."
Fuck off, Catskill.
"Hey, this kid's all right. His bulbs are flashing. Now, when I was a kid, I was so poor, my mother sewed rubber
so
buckets
did.
On my
pants
so I could steal soap."
The look on Dustin's face is just...
I have a thousand yard stare
pain and disappointment.
This is the second time I've watched this movie in a...
Yeah, you like that, huh?
2 week period.
"Things like that, because when you're happy, I'm happy."
Oh, this is where Stranger Danger and he starts touching him inappropriately, right?
"My wife said, 'Where do you expect to keep it?' I said, 'Under our bed.' She said, 'What about the smell?' And I said, 'He'll have to get used to it, just like I did.'"
Children's movie.
Yeah,
children's movie.
Was that a pussy joke?
I think it was,
or just a body odor joke.
I guess it could have just been a body odor joke.
For the kids, it was a body odor joke.
For the adults,
it was a pussy joke.
We know what that odor came from.
Yeah. Because vaginas stink, am I right?
Right, right. Ha ha. So did they just have Jerry Garcia like make a bunch of noises and then computerize it?
I was trying to figure out if maybe his guitar was involved somehow.
That could be. He just talked into his guitar.
Yeah, like Peter Frampton.
Right.
Frampton comes alive.
"I have been thinking about that."
Oh, yeah, this is the love scene, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Just, I mean, the lighting in the shot here. They're going to take their robot clothes off.
And because of the weird kind of eye holes that they have, this whole thing just looks like a sort of Eyes Wide Shut kind of sex scene to me. Like, they're just wearing weird sex party masks.
Well, he looks like a burn victim.
Yeah.
With the seams on his. Oh.
She looks like one of the kids from Pink Floyd, The Wall.
"Shoulder. See if you can fix my pleasure center."
Yeah.
Whoa.
Fix it.
"It's again sending..."
Fix it with your finger.
With that weird fucking mouth of yours.
"Strong impulse."
All right. Oh, all right. Boy. Time to cut away.
She's like, "I do not under..." Oh.
So when they kiss, does it just like scratch up the paint job on their lips?
Probably. Oh. Now she's hugging him.
She's going directly for his pleasure center.
She's looking at his weird blinking snowflake.
Wait, did she say her pleasure center is broken? Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
Whoa.
I gotta write this shit down. This is hot.
You are my density.
Yeah. I'm gonna remember this for tomorrow night on Valentine's Day. Move your pleasure center closer to mine.
Effective.
And then that's when Valentine's Day gets ruined and I sleep alone.
"I don't know. Is there one missing?"
Uh-oh.
"Oh, Phil.
You did not
announce
your arrival.
We were just doing some routine repair work. Adjusting some bolts.
We were only...
adjusting each other's
exchanging
gauges.
Data.
Yes.
Because they got interrupted.
By their child.
Right.
And not very funny relative, I guess.
I don't know. As a parent... It does happen, but not as frequently as it does in movies and television. One, there's a thing called lox.
They go great with bagels.
Yeah. Get it? This will go good with locks.
Thank you, Catskill.
But, like, it literally has never happened in this household. The other only time it happened was when there were no doors to be had in, like, her basement apartment, and Jackson walked
okay.
out one time in the middle of the night. She was, like, sleeping in the living room, essentially. So, yeah, like, that couldn't be helped unless we locked him in his room, which is not a good parenting.
Yeah, that's worse than than having to make up an excuse for why you're close to each other.
Yeah. Apparently, she didn't even notice. I saw it and panicked, and he just walked out of his room. I have really good hearing. I just call it dad hearing. And as many rock shows as I've been to, it's amazing that it still functions as well as it does. But he came out and, like, walked up next to the bed, and then I don't even know if he saw anything because, like, she was on top at the moment it happened. But it was super dark, you know, when he was half asleep. But he straight up walked around the corner, stood at the bed for like a second, and then turned around and walked back away and went back to bed. Nothing was ever said. I stopped and I told her, I'm like, Jackson was just standing next to me. And yeah,
so you didn't have to come up with an excuse later on. You didn't say, like, oh, sorry, getting a massage or whatever.
I was like, what, okay, so how do we broach this, because this is new to me. And she's like, he probably won't even remember it, hasn't ever said it. He doesn't act like he has permanent resentment towards me.
Okay, that's good.
So, you know.
He probably thought it was a weird dream.
He was also pretty young back then, so yeah. It's like, he still gets grossed out by seeing kissing on movies and stuff,
yeah.
Which I don't get, because I was into it way before.
We've talked about that, yeah.
Age.
Yeah, you
but
and
hey,
I both.
It was the 80s.
We had access to shit like Weird Science that totally
era.
Fucked up our 5-year-old minds.
Oh, this is a parenting lesson.
Yeah. It's hilarious because they're robots.
Yeah.
So originally, Aqua was offered to Sigourney Weaver, and she was interested.
Yeah. I bet she's glad she passed on that one.
Her agent talked her out of it, because he knew that the movie was going to suck, apparently. But she wanted to work with Andy Kaufman, which I think was cool.
Yeah. I think Sigourney might have brought a little more sexiness to the role for that era.
Yeah, because she didn't try the way that you can see Bernadette. And not to blame Bernadette Peters, because she had nothing to work with, so she was just trying to do something. But I think Sigourney Weaver would have had a lot more natural... More of a natural sex bot presence.
Yeah. Oh, this is funny because they're holding trees.
Come on, we don't want to be caught.
Hey, kid, behave yourself.
See, right there you could hear his Bugs Bunny voice.
Yeah.
He said caught.
I knew we should have taken the left 20 Albuquerque.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to be going to Albuquerque.
Yeah?
Coming up on a road trip. And
are you going to play Albuquerque by Weird Al when you get there?
You damn right I will.
Good. Good, good.
I have mixes set up for each leg of the drive, and Albuquerque ends and begins a mix. So that
and of
way
course you do.
Leave.
Of course you have a mix set up for each part of the drive. Now, you have to make sure that Living on a Prayer plays exactly when you're halfway to your destination.
Okay.
So you can sing, we're halfway there.
Yeah. Wanted Dead or Alive is playing while we're in the desert.
That's
sure.
necessary. Okay.
Because I'm a cowboy and on Steel Horse I ride. I'm wanted.
Wanted!
All right.
Enough Bon Jovi. You want to hear like more singing, tune in a couple episodes. I guarantee I'm not going to be able to restrain myself at some point.
You probably have a better singing voice than I, so.
I did sing on stage recently.
You did, and you sounded great.
For the first time in a while. Did a Ramones cover with our good friend Brett Conlin in his band. Oh, they're Bush Bots. Get it? Because they're in a bush.
Oh, like I thought it was more of a sex bot reference again.
Oh, could be. Or it could be a beer thing.
Yeah.
Bush. But anyways, check out Dead End Lights. That's the name of the band. And they play locally here quite a bit. I will not be joining them for Bonzo Goes to Bitburg on every show they play, but I did that night.
Let us piss? Is that what he said?
Yes. I don't think taking four pictures was necessary.
Yeah,
I think as far away as he was, one picture would have done it.
Clearly, it's not a 4K camera.
Yeah.
He just could have zoomed into it. You
are criminals. We are Bushbot.
I have signaled the police. They will retrieve you on their 4 a.m. shift. Do not move.
This was the action figure variant. That was the short.
Probably made twice as much off of the Bushbot package.
The Bushbot, they only put one of those in each case of action figures. They didn't make Heartbeeps figures, right?
I hope they did.
If they
I think
did,
this was a little bit before the
no, because Star Wars.
Well, yeah,
was
Star Wars
out.
Had come out.
We are not criminals.
All right, I don't think there's any merchandise, but I'm gonna look it up.
Man, it would be amazing if there were.
Exist to serve with logic and efficiency.
So he's trying to like talk down the cop?
You cannot be robots because you're criminals.
Oh, they're confusing.
Yeah.
That's right. He goes more crazy.
The robot litany is being used for improper purposes. You are confusing.
Oh, they're speeding up.
I'm guessing children were frightened of this movie and not in any way made to feel joy or humor.
The only thing I see when looking up Heartbeeps merchandise is some bootleg t-shirts. There's one of Catskill.
All right.
So, yeah, no official
Catskill. I would say Phil would be the character to go with if you're going to make a...
Oh, Ramon's Pizza. That's a reference.
Hey, all right.
Because Alan Arkish, again, worked with them in Rock and Roll High School, and I was just talking about the Ramones, so that's topical. Well, how about that?
There's a party going on.
Oh, yeah. There's a party going on. Wave your hands in the air, shake your derriere.
There's a party in my mouth and everyone's invited.
Yes, I'm here for the pants party. Oh, we got new robots. He didn't even finish that. There was still something left in the stem. Oh, okay. So at first I was like, is that PJ Souls? You know, did he talk her into being in this too?
It's like he's wearing Chuck's suit from Better Call Saul. It's got the space blanket lining in it.
What is that guy doing in the background?
Checking out the new oven. Because this is supposed to be the mid-90s.
Yeah. All right. So is this a party?
Oh okay. It's a party.
Yeah. We got a butt shot for Phil. Yeah. He's a little kid from the 80s that's a robot, but he's horny AF.
And he's checking out humans.
This tastes like a banana daiquiri.
You are correct.
What you got against banana daiquiris? Yes,
I know what you mean. Mountains always make me feel closer to God for some reason.
Ha! Callback!
Boring.
Now Crime Buster's going to show up to this party. He's smelling them.
I feel like he's playing croquet.
Yeah.
Whenever that little nose comes out.
I think I need a two wedge. Oh, and he's going to go through this lake.
Oh, wow.
Pond.
This is impressive. Because it said earlier by land, water, or sea. Yeah,
it's
or
like
air.
One of those duck boats. Is that a guy on the left?
I beg your pardon?
How long can a person live without...
I'm just trying to tell how progressive this movie is. Oh, no, it's just really bad makeup. It looked like drag queen makeup.
Just a tall woman with bad makeup on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it might have been transgressive.
I don't know. The guy behind him was also in Rock and Roll High School.
Yeah, he looks super familiar.
That guy looks like Tommy Stinson from The Replacements. I do like the one guy, the bald guy that I just mentioned. He has one funny line of dialogue coming up later that I will at least give him credit for, that I laughed at when I saw it. His name's Paul Bartel. He died quite a while ago, actually, but he did a lot of those Roger Corman movies and stuff.
Gee. Jeez, crime buster.
Busting makes me feel good.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. They just busted out all those cubes. Come back here, you.
Why do you want him to come back? He right? just blew up the house.
Okay. Oh, here we go. I think it's coming up. That looks more like a robot.
Yeah.
Like Rosie from the Jetsons. Still disco music playing in the 90s. Or is it a retro party?
Another masturbation joke. And action.
That one's frightening.
I don't know about some people, but I thought it was a stunning affair.
What? All right. Well, it took us a minute to right. set up that joke.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
This movie doesn't give you much to laugh at, so you have to take what you can get.
Yeah, that's true. I don't get this. Why is he upset with her? Is this one of the scenes that was cut out of the movie is just left us wondering what the setup to this was?
Yeah, I'm thinking she was trying to fuck somebody at the party.
Yeah. And we just missed it is all. Yeah.
Now he's all blurry. Yeah, this is something I didn't even pick up. Because I was just like, "What? This movie doesn't make sense anyways." But yeah, I think you're totally right.
Yeah,
there was probably a scene that was cut where she
was flirting with the maitre d' or one of the other robots or one of the people there or something. Yeah, see, now all of a sudden you can see the mole on his chin.
Oh, yeah.
It was there before.
Just that I did not want to complicate your computer with...
I function better with maximum input.
Agreed.
It's with the coconut sound effect there.
Terry like, Gilliam's yeah. around the corner.
King Arthur's about to show up.
I drank a beer last night that was made me think of Terry Gilliam, the director of one of our last episodes, Baron Munchausen. Is called Not Giants, But Windmills. It's a Don Quixote reference.
Yeah.
It actually has... that's not how you do that, Randy Quaid. It actually has the quote from the book on the side of the can. So I thought that was kind of cool. Check it out. Triptych Brewing out of Savoy. Oh, this is fun.
This is weird.
Capri Sun beer.
This makes no sense.
It doesn't.
Unless there was there like a shortage of aluminum? Like, what happened here?
It's the future.
Sure missed the cans. What did Mr. Westland mean last night when he said...
So they're drinking their beer, their Coors, out of a bag. Out of like a Capri Sun, like you said, type bag.
This movie brought to you by GM and Coors.
Yep.
He's holding a Coors mug to drink his Coors bag beer in. Hey, it's Bambi.
Aw.
Oh, there's that bunny.
So now Crime Buster is just rolling through the woods, seeing various shots of stock footage of animals.
He's patriotic as fuck. Run away.
And he Coyote. Is trying to kill them, it seems.
Okay, that's the same shot from earlier.
That's the same stump.
The same stump. So where did that $10 million go?
I think that's the blank check that Andy Kaufman wrote himself.
Yeah.
I think it was for $9.5 million.
I am not concerned with Phil's desire for miscellaneous equipment used by firefighter models.
Yeah, I can hear the Elmer Fudd when I'm listening for it. Where he's trying to do a little bit of a speech impediment.
Our decision not to program Phil for subservience. And I do not regret it.
I do not either.
It's a woman's right to choose.
Still lacks some important internal improvements.
Yes.
I almost feel like it took more work to make him talk like this than just have him...
Whoa. Junkyard. It was a weird shot.
It was
an unnecessarily chromed shot, and you could see through their skin.
It's causing my my pleasure center to malfunction.
What doesn't?
They're looking at a junkyard, just so you know. They're super excited to be in this junkyard.
The Star Wars music is coming back hardcore.
Yeah, I'm looking for, like, destroyed droids or something in there.
Some little Easter egg of some sort.
Yeah. We are going to finally get introduced to one of the people we mentioned at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Christopher Guest. You may know him from Spinal Tap. Also, Princess Bride, Waiting for Guffman,
Best in Show, Mighty Wind.
But, yeah. It goes to 11. This movie does not go to 11.
This movie doesn't go to 1. And here, John Williams, you can always tell when he's just phoning it in, when he's like, this movie's not going to make any money. I'm just going to reuse shit that I've already done.
Yeah.
Like, the Lois and Clark theme as they're flying through the sky. You could hear the background violins a second ago.
Oh, there they are.
Christopher Guest.
There's 2 comm series.
One is the new model with the
Luckily, his career wasn't derailed system. By appearing yeah. in this.
No.
There's a Catskill model, complete with cigar option.
And again, poor guy, you can see him trying to act. He's probably the best actor in the movie. And what in the world are they
doing? That's what we've been asking. Oh, Andy Kaufman reference. Nice conga.
Yeah.
They're customers.
So there's an Easter egg.
Yeah.
You got something in the junkyard.
Yeah. It's because he used to always play the conga drum in his stand-up act. Yeah, but those models don't come equipped with the wallet option.
That's not funny.
That's true.
You I'm guessing correct. He improvised that because he was doing the movie like, what am I doing this piece of shit for?
He thinks he's a refrigerator.
Because I was just getting ready to say it, and he said it for me. It's a harmless
complex. Well, maybe, the woman said. But he sleeps with his mouth open, and the light keeps me awake.
Groan.
So, what's your favorite portrayal of androids? Androids in Heartbeeps, Terminator, Star Wars, Short Circuit, Star Trek. Excuse
me, but I mean, probably Star Wars.
Yeah,
those are, you know, very near and dear to my heart. So, yeah, I would probably go with that. I've also met Anthony Daniels before, who played C-3PO.
How was he? Because there are rumors that he's a jerk.
I didn't have an issue with him.
Cool.
And I went to a...
raccoons. They're always adorable.
Trash pandas.
Yeah. Apparently you've been sent by your owner
on an errand for spare parts. He did like a Q&A thing, and it was pretty interesting, actually.
Cool.
But that was a long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away. Did
you hear about the guy who crawled away with
the girl? Oh, shut up.
I'm going to listen to Catskills jokes for a little while.
Actually, it was in Rosemont, but what do I have?
That's where I saw the Kids in the Hall perform live. That was a great show.
Okay, so now Phil and the raccoon are setting off on their own side story. It's like a road trip movie, perhaps. Or is he going to fuck that raccoon?
I think he's trying to get some raccoon
shit.
Love. That's like the eye in the sky from Breaking Bad.
That's literally like him coming across a dead body.
Right.
Is the equivalent of a small child seeing somebody with their face ripped off. Hey, it's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
It's okay, they're just robots.
It's like the reindeer in Santa Claus the movie. We don't care if they're in pain.
Right.
Right between the lines, pal.
Hey, that's a personal question, lady. Yeah, when I hear this, I think of Jerry Garcia immediately.
Mm-hmm. Now wait, speak more slowly. I'm
coming. I don't understand. What's wrong? They don't see the shadow? Nope. Here is a failure to communicate. Ha! Cool hand, Luke. Or you will be instantly incinerated. I got that movie. Excuse me, sir, but
I think that maybe... Man, we should have watched that.
Yeah.
Oh my god, was that another boner, robo-boner joke, or is it just his flamethrower?
You metallic moron. Bitch, I'm somebody your own size, huh?
Yes, please shoot Catskill.
You have the right to remain silent.
This is getting pretty intense.
Yeah.
Man, Crime Buster is terrible at his job.
He is.
Robots are really incompetent, man.
The raccoon's reaction is pretty much my reaction to this whole movie. It covered its eyes and looked away.
The raccoon is the star of this film so far.
Stand still or be incinerated, but he's trying to shoot him anyway.
Yeah, that's... he's lying.
Oh.
Oh, that's an important shot. You need that.
Christopher Guest and her...
So when Christopher Guest has a bit part in your movie, is it a guest starring role?
Oh! But I'm...
But why? Do they always kiss after they, like, destroy something?
Yeah,
that's a weird little Mickey and Mallory kind of relationship.
Is that a Family Ties reference?
It's meant to be a Natural Born Killers reference, but I think it's also a Family Ties reference.
Mallory and her Mel Gibson-esque
boyfriend. Was his name Mickey? It was. Oh, that was Nick. You're right.
Discarded as worthless.
Wait, please. If Phil is to survive in this world, he needs a function that can be valued by society.
You know, like, she's a fuckbot. You're a
major modification.
Whatever.
New equipment. There's only one place for you to go.
Where?
We're waiting on bated breath.
Factory?
Those glasses are pretty popular these days.
Sally Jesse Raphael-esque, but blue.
Mm-hmm.
No, great, they're walking again.
Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about our energy packs. Can we make it all the way back?
I have 34% power remaining.
Oh, he has the ability to lie.
Yeah.
I have 33% power remaining.
At least one of us has to have enough power to make it back to the factory and explain about Phil.
I don't like that otherwise, robots can lie.
Yeah, they're taking on a bunch of weird human traits once they're out on their own. It has a real creepy vibe of, like, this is the beginning of AI. Like, this is a Matrix prequel, basically.
But I hope they do.
All right, let's kiss again. We're done.
Yeah. Let's go kill something and then kiss.
Those were the only customers we've had in 2 months. We just let them go.
Mm-hmm. Small, uses less energy than we do.
Assumption incorrect. Phil's energy pack has less than 2% power left.
Well, I ain't carrying that shit.
There they are. Now we got them.
And these guys are just hanging out in the middle of BFE, waiting for them to come to them.
I see 4 robots out there.
Forget it. We lost
That's a weird stance there, Randy.
Don't confuse anybody. Let's go.
But Max, I see a 4th.
Charlie, if it doesn't have an invoice number, it doesn't.
So was Randy exist. Famous Let's before go. Dennis?
Come on. We gotta go all the way around the world.
That's a good question. Randy had a bit part in, was it Last American Picture Show?
I never saw it.
I know he was in that. I think he would really like that movie. Sybil Shepherd, Cloris Leachman. Mm-hmm. It's a black and white movie. I think Jeff Bridges is in it too, and Timothy Bottoms. Who
I remember hearing about it, but yeah, I just never got around to seeing it.
Yeah, he was in that, and that was in 1971. If I remember right, you see him naked.
Wonderful place of
which was something I didn't need.
Kind of like seeing Harvey Keitel naked in the piano, just not looking forward to it or not expecting it, and then it happens.
Good. I don't think you'll be needing this anymore.
All right, so he's basically seeing his son off to college. Is that what this scene is?
I'm guessing.
So many new parts that I don't know. Possess.
Did you know Randy Quaid played Lenny in a version of Mice and Men?
I didn't. Makes sense.
I can see it, though.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that in spite of problems, you have been performing very well.
Oh, this is sweet. Right? I can't tell. This is supposed to be cute.
You aren't concerned.
Yeah, I would say Randy was famous before Dennis. Dennis's first big movie was Breaking Away, 1979.
Okay.
He'd been in a couple small things before that, but Randy's first movie was Last Picture Show, and he was in several others after that. So, yeah, I guess Randy... Randy peaked early. I don't know. He peaked in the 80s with Cousin Eddie. If I lack the energy to and Kingpin.
But then Hollywood was after him, so everything fell apart for him.
Independence Day. Oh, this is where it turns into Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. They wipe each other's memories. Oh, shit, they just killed their kid.
Catskill, what have you done?
So Catskill is fumbling around with the energy cells, the batteries, essentially, of Phil and himself.
Good thing they're compatible, I guess.
Yeah.
He just basically did an organ transplant.
Right.
Catskill, it is illogical for you to perform this energy pack transplant.
That's what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
Catskill's pack still has 42% power left, which Phil can now use.
But what does this mean to us? Were they at 100% earlier? Like, what does this mean that Phil's going to last another 2 days?
Apparently, he has been selecting low-power jokes.
That was a joke itself, right?
I think.
Okay.
But it explains why the writing was so bad.
Yeah, that's what it was. It
into the movie.
My mother-in-law needed a heart transplant once.
So he could have been funnier.
Yeah.
We couldn't find a gorilla.
So essentially, we just watched Catskill die.
Yep, that took 2%.
And Phil is cracking up laughing because he doesn't realize what's happened yet.
Or is he crying? I can't tell.
I think it's turning into a laugh cry.
All right, well, there goes Catskill.
And we hear John Williams ramping up the John Williamsness of his score.
Speaking of ramping up, we've got 12 minutes left of this movie.
And it feels like half an hour.
Yeah. So now...
So they're just going to leave Catskill's corpse off to the side.
Staring in the distance.
And that is the lesson we learn about death, is don't worry... You'll find another friend.
There'll be another one. Wow, just like him.
Terrible parents. All right, son, we're going to send you off on your own. Just kidding, you're still going to hang out with us.
Oh, he's being rescued.
I guess.
Maybe.
This is kind of like watching a dead dog get picked up by the roadkill crew.
I've seen that happen before. Funny, it's sad.
Man. Yeah, we finally caught up with him.
One down, two to go.
So our two GM employees... whose lives we've been closely following this entire movie, have found Catskill.
They're stripping him.
So, college boy.
They're taking him apart and just basically playing with his corpse and throwing him in the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah. They're messing with his innards.
Kids movie.
Yeah.
This is a kids movie.
That's his large intestine and small intestine dangling there, I think.
Okay. Careful. Don't worry, don't worry.
Delicate. Riveting.
Yeah,
scene.
Why? This,
riveting scene.
I don't understand why this is still going on.
Watching them take apart Catskill and put him in the truck.
He could just be in the truck driving away. And let's get
the rest of them. And the dialogue was, careful. Oh, yeah, I am. All right, don't worry.
Delicate machinery.
Yep, delicate. All right,
Coors.
Careful. Oh, beer reference. Why not? So it's sort of like Scarecrow, Tin Man... That's about it.
Yeah. Oh, there's the factory. We finally made it. Looks like we made it.
You did it.
Who's Hugh?
I knew you.
It was you this whole time.
So Aqua is speaking more and more slowly, and her battery is slowly draining.
Oh. Her pleasure center is going to be on the negative.
She is at 0% power, barely moving.
I wish we could have fudge. What?
And you wish we could have fudge?
Was Val.
Is that what you said?
Subject area. So we just watched Aqua die. Aqua just died on screen.
Yeah.
Aqua.
She's a Barbie girl.
Wait. Please don't Barbie go. Room. I want to discuss.
Shane, come back, Shane.
Emotional phenomenon.
That's kind of like the last scene in Far and Away.
Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. Second movie reference involving them. Eyes Wide Shut earlier.
Oh, right.
About.
I feel like he's using more of his battery, finding multiple syllabic words.
Right.
You know. Oh, and they're freezing, holding hands.
All right. So they just died holding hands.
Yeah.
Kids movie. This is a kids movie.
It's kind of like Pluto Jones, right?
I forget.
Rosario Dawson and Eddie Murphy on the moon, and Randy Quaid carrying.
Oh
them.
yeah.
And then Louis Guzman finds them. Is Louis Guzman Phil?
He just said "mommy, mommy." Did you hear that?
No.
He said "mommy, mommy." His mother just died in front of him, and then his father died holding her hand. And he's trying to wake them up, saying, "Mommy, mommy." Kids movie.
I thought he goosed them. What the fuck is happening?
All right, so we just saw three robots die within a couple minutes, and a fourth robot, who is a child, after witnessing them all die, is now going out on his own.
At least he's got his hat on.
I think he's giving him the middle finger.
Yeah.
You were terrible parents. Fuck you.
Oh, boy.
Oh, still holding hands.
Hours later, I'm surprised they didn't show us their whole journey to finding them. Like, hey, see anything around here?
No. One of them stops to pee.
Try that other field.
All right, so now we see the GM boys picking up.
They found the other two.
The corpses of our two heroes.
And they don't know Phil exists.
Yeah. Yeah, they have no idea that Phil exists.
They're just going to go home now.
Yeah.
And Phil is now abandoned and left alone in this world.
And Phil goes on to create the Borg, and this is a prequel to Star Trek. But really, Phil is... this really, AI is kind of a remake of this.
Oh, he's watching.
This is... Yeah. This is the Haley Joel Osment character in AI. He's going to go on to create better beings than humans. And the epilogue is going to go 2,000 years in the future. And this humanoid robot species is going to go back in time.
Did you ever watch Bicentennial Man starring Robin Williams?
I missed that one.
Yeah, me too.
What's with the coffin on his shoulder?
Oh, I thought it was like a shield.
Oh, okay.
But who knows at this point?
So Randy, what's his name? Randy just saw him and was like, "Ah, fuck it."
Yep. No invoice.
Less paperwork.
And then Truckosaurus comes and eats them all.
What a weird ending. Okay, movie's over. Fade to black. Oh, wait, no. There's some kind of epilogue. Okay.
Shut the Metallica off. We're not done yet. Wesley. Flammable zone.
Hiya, Charlie.
Hi, babe.
You know, I've been talking to some people.
They've fucked.
Those robots that...
He doesn't want anything to do with her. Things got weird in that helicopter.
He is trying to get away.
Yeah. She just shows up. He's like, "What are you doing here?" Only crazy people do that.
I mean, I heard that you...
That Coke machine something.
Weird vending machine where, again, they just drink out of
bags.
Bags in the future. Huh.
They put new energy packs in.
Caffeine free.
Three times. They just kept malfunctioning. They kept sending them out, but the owners kept sending them back.
So does this happen to every model of robot, or it only happened to Val and Aqua? What's the implication here?
I bought the book on him and took the loss.
I think they're special.
Well, what finally happened to them?
We jumped them.
Yeah, we jumped them. Right. Yeah, we jumped them.
Star Wars screen wipe.
Oh, they're naked. And this is where we have the post-coital scene. Oh, no.
Flexi cable when you were reassembling all of us. Look.
All right, we get a second epilogue.
Yeah.
And more Star Wars music.
Right.
You've seen it all, folks. Well, almost all.
Oh, look at Phil. It is a girl.
Isn't she cute?
Oh, no, that's not Phil. It's
a newborn.
So now they have a quick fade. Son and a daughter, and it's over.
Oh no. Shit, epilogue number three. Okay.
I'm back on the scene.
Okay.
What's that supposed to mean?
Setting up for the sequel, obviously.
Right, more exposition.
What is that?
Automobile?
It's not in the robot catalog. They must have built a new member for their gang. Eat lead, punk!
Alright, so in the future, cops are still shooting gang members without asking questions.
He just blew up a car.
This reminds me of another case. The time I cornered the microchip gang. A clever bunch they were. But they too found out the hard way.
Gas is $3?
That's about right.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
It's
the
over.
First credit we get is co-starring Richard Scholl and Dick Miller.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they weren't in the opening credits, I guess.
Oh, wow. So, that is Heart Beeps.
Yeah, that certainly was Heart Beeps.
That might be the most disappointing movie I've ever seen in my
Jerry
life.
Jerry Garcia's name was not in the credits.
Yeah. So I think IMDb was lying.
I don't know what.
I think somebody's fucking around.
Everybody on this movie was fucking around. It makes no goddamn sense. And I paid $10 for this piece of shit.
$10?
Yeah.
I asked around. I could not find this at any Family Video. They didn't have it at Mega Replay.
No, you shouldn't.
You can only really rent this on YouTube.
One person bought this on DVD, watched it, and traded it into Mega Replay. And then I was like, ooh, Heart Beeps. And I bought it so we could watch it on this show and make fun of it.
And it's...
Aqua's makeup artist is named Zoltan. Phil. Voice of Phil performed by Jerry Garcia.
Oh, my God.
It back.
It's there. It's all not, right. But why
I'm so
is
confused.
That so late in the credits?
Right.
Why did the UPM get credit before Jerry Garcia?
I've seen movie... Oh, Catskills jokes are by Henny Youngman.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yep.
But again, why don't they have the voice acting at the end of the credits? If you have a dog in the movie, the dog will get a credit at the end of the actors.
Yeah, it'll be like the very last thing you see. But yeah, all right. We need to look up how Jerry Garcia provided the voice for Phil. Was it his guitar or his actual voice?
I don't even care at this point. At least it's just been confirmed.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Does this movie hold up today?
No, it didn't hold up then. It doesn't hold up now. It won't hold up 20 years from
now. I think it was ahead of its time. I think that it
touched
upon
some real... Truman Show was ahead
of
its time.
It really was.
This movie was not ahead of its time.
No, it wasn't. No. I was forcing that. Okay. This is seriously one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
It made my enjoyment pleasure center malfunction for 86 minutes. Steve Martin's Working Wildlife supplied the animals. Not that Steve Martin, but Mark Wiener was the animal trainer. Just so you know. There's one song in the movie called The Break, performed by Kathmandu. The rest of the music is by John Williams.
And it was filmed in Panavision.
Yeah, look for the soundtrack. You can actually find it on Spotify. I'm not even making it up. Oh, boy. So... thankfully, I have aged better than this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I was one, I aged better than this movie.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks for going through that with us. And, of course, we finished the credits, but we have one more song for you.
To bring things a little bit more upbeat now.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't close on that. I mean, we're not animals. I mean... yes, we kind of made you listen to us watch that movie, but there's a band They're called the Andy Kaufmans.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Canada. And they have a new song out called Automatic. And I contacted them and asked if we could feature them because we were watching an Andy Kaufman movie for the first time. So that's what we're going to listen to. So enjoy the Andy Kaufmans here on Drunk at the Movies.
She said it's automatic. I said it never comes down. She's become a bad habit.
Thanks again to the Andy Kaufmans as well as Dance Gavin Dance for letting us feature their music on this show.
And being the absolute best part of this show because totally. The movie itself was not.
Yeah. We're going to hold out hopes for our next episode, which you will hear in a couple weeks. We are going to watch it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did a kind of out of left field romantic comedy.
And like you said, it was a segue into this month because right. It is absolutely a blockbuster failure.
So for another unconventional Valentine's pick, we're going to watch a bromance movie. And Seth and I are going to enjoy I Love You, Man. I know I'm going to enjoy this one.
This is, if you haven't seen it before, maybe watch it.
Yeah.
Before you listen to the podcast, because that actually is worth seeing.
It's not a Judd Apatow movie, but it involves people from his movies, and it has that vibe.
Yeah.
It is very entertaining. I haven't seen it in probably 2 years.
That's about the same here, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it, and plus Rush is in it. So, I mean, that's really all that needs to be said. All right, well... Yeah, let's just end this. Let's take it behind the shed and take it circuits out.
And you do have to be drunk to enjoy Heartbeats.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think that's the lesson we've learned.
I definitely. You do have to be drunk to enjoy Heartbeats. I don't even think that will help. You have to be drunk to watch Heartbeats. So, until next time, this is Dustin.
This is Seth.
We will see you on the next episode. We promise it'll be better. Thanks for listening.